Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in English program. Today, Wednesday, June the 5th, 2019, will bring you various updates coming from Indonesia, cultural information, and also good music from our country. Today, I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. Well, listener, let's begin with the news presented by my colleague, Rini.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Minister of Transportation asks all parties to remain vigilant despite of decline of traffic accidents. Thousands of prisoners get Idul Fitri sentence cut. Now the news in detail. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi asked all parties not to be careless, even though the number of homecoming traffic accidents in 2019 declined compared to last year. Budi also called on all parties tasked with securing homecoming this year to remain vigilant, especially in areas that would become tourist destinations. Budi, in an official statement received by republika.co.id on Tuesday, revealed that there was a decrease in the number of accidents by 12-15% in the homecoming flow in 2019. On the same occasion, Budi appreciated the people who had followed the government's appeal not to use a motorcycle on a trip back and forth to their respective hometowns. The Law and Human Rights Ministry has reduced the prison sentence of more than 100,000 Muslim inmates across the country as part of Idul Fitri celebration. Of them, 517 were immediately released. West Java had the highest number of prisoners receiving remissions, with around 13,000 inmates, followed by East Java and North Sumatra with more than 12,000. The Ministry's Correctional Affairs Director General Sri Puguh Budi Utami said on Tuesday that the remission is a reward for prisoners who show good behavior. The reduced sentences will reportedly save prisons 54.9 billion rupiah or $3.8 million in meals alone. The police have deployed 6,226 officers to major areas of the capital to ensure public order and safety through June 13, as many residents return to their hometowns to celebrate the Idul Fitri holiday. Jakarta Police spokesman Argo Yuwono on Tuesday said officers had been deployed to anticipate and prevent any possible acts of terrorism. He added the police officers' other priorities included overseeing traffic and guarding vital infrastructures in the city. They are guarding mosques and other sites where Muslims usually observe the Idul Fitri prayer. The police are also sent to guard popular tourist destinations like Ancol Beach and the Kota Tua of Old Town area in North Jakarta, Ragunan Zoo in South Jakarta, and Taman Mini Indonesia Indah in East Jakarta. State-owned energy holding company Pertamina says the consumption of high-octane Pertamax fuel has increased significantly during the ongoing Idul Fitri exodus. The increase of consumption of high-quality fuels was found in Yogyakarta and Central Java, major destination of travelers who wanted to celebrate Idul Fitri in their hometowns. Iin Febrian, the general manager of Pertamina's marketing operation in Central Java and Yogyakarta, said, as quoted by Tempo.co, that in the 3 days before Idul Fitri on June 5th, the consumption of Pertamax branded gasoline increased by 34%. Iin said people were willing to spend more on high quality fuels to give special treatment to their vehicles during the long journey. South Sumatra LRT will add 6 trips, increasing to 58 trips daily until 20 o'clock starting June 7 this year. PT KAI Palembang Public Relations Manager Aida Suryanti in a written statement recently said the addition of the 6 LRT trips provided an opportunity for a longer time for the community to use the LRT from 52 trips a day to 58 trips per day. This would make it easier for passengers to travel safely, free on traffic, and at affordable prices. In addition, it is expected that by increasing the number of trips, it will further increase public interest in using LRT and make South Sumatra LRT an important part of the future public transportation system for the people of Palembang, especially since South Sumatra LRT has been integrated with Damri buses and Transmusi. The administration of Palu City, Central Sulawesi's capital, plans to construct a natural disaster museum to remind visitors and raise awareness of its exposure to the earthquake, tsunami, and liquefaction on September 28 last year. Chief of the Palu City Development Planning Board, Arfan, remarked at a discussion in Palu recently that it was the government's future agenda to construct the museum. The disaster museum holds significance as it will not only jog the visitors' memory of the disasters that ravaged Palu City and the districts of Sigi Donggala and Parigi Mutong, but also serve as tourist destination and a means of edifying the public. Several hundreds of people lost their lives while hundreds of others suffered injuries when a powerful earthquake and ensuing tsunami and liquefaction hit Central Sulawesi last year. The local government of Tanah Bumbu District in South Kalimantan Province has set aside some 300,000 hectares as the site as part of a future Indonesian capital relocation plan. As quoted by Antara News Agency, District Secretary of Tanah Bumbu, Ruswandi Salem, recently said, in preparing the area, the provincial government involved several districts, including Kota Baru and Tanah Bumbu districts, to provide land. If the relocation plan for the future capital city is adopted and the central government is relocated to Kota Baru district, then it is expected to see construction of ministries and institutions built to expand Tanah Bumbu district. He also said that geographically and geopolitically, the location of those three districts is very strategic. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Minister of Transportation asks all parties to remain vigilant despite of decline of traffic accident. Thousands of prisoners get Idul Fitri sentence cut. That was the news from the Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's commentary is entitled Idul Fitri Message for World Peace. In Indonesia, yesterday was the end of Ramadan month and the arrival of Idul Fitri. Muslims throughout the world welcome the day with traditions of each country or nation. Indonesian Muslims, who are the majority of the population, celebrate it with something called silaturahim. It means getting together with a family and friends, asking for forgiveness or forgiving each other for any mistakes in the past. In Indonesia, Idul Fitri is characterized by the movement of people from cities into villages. The homeward-bound journey is often called mudik, and it is one of the largest human movements in the world. Whatever differences between various nations, Idul Fitri should be marked by a spirit of togetherness and peace. Fasting and Ramadan worship, as taught by the Prophet Muhammad, gave guidance that fasting is to make human morality becoming better. Muslims are expected to make Ramadan a momentum to increase piety, to realize that people should understand love and appreciate each other because they are all God's creations. People must live in peace and harmony, try to find similarities in life rather than to focus on the differences. But the ideals of Ramadan and Idul Fitri clash with the reality of continuing conflicts, upheaval, hostility, and war among fellow Muslims. What happened in Syria is a real example. The Muslim civil war continues. Thousands of people have died as a result of armed conflicts. In Sudan, ahead of Eid al-Fitr, there was a turmoil that killed some demonstrators. And during Ramadan, Palestinian Muslims in the Gaza Strip have become victims of Israeli military attacks. Meanwhile, some Muslims in other parts of the world have to celebrate Eid al-Fitr within economic constraints, even poverty. Rohingya refugees of Myanmar, for instance, are difficult to fully welcome the Eid al-Fitr with great happiness in their makeshift camps in Bangladesh. On the other hand, it is undeniable that today, many Muslims who are part of a minority in a majority non-Muslim country can carry out Ramadan worship solemnly and peacefully before welcoming the Eid al-Fitr with joy. Well, may all Muslims anywhere in the world can finally be happy in welcoming the Eid al-Fitr. The spirit of peace and togetherness should spread from this nice holiday. Listener, that's the commentary.
Today in history, I'll begin with June the 5th, 1967, the Six-Day War begins. The Six-Day War is a war between Israel and three Arab countries, namely Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, which lasted from the 5th to the 10th June 1967. This war was motivated by relations between Israel and neighboring countries, which did not improve after the 1948 Arab-Israeli War. In 1956, Israel invaded the Sinai Peninsula, which one of its objectives to reopen the Tiran Strait that was closed by Egypt to the Israeli shipping industry since 1950. Israel could be pushed back then, but managed to force Egypt to guarantee the freedom of Israeli ships to pass around the Strait of Tyranny. Although the United Nations Emergency Force was placed along the borders of the two countries, there was no demilitarized agreement. Turning to June the 5th, 1974, World Environment Day is celebrated for the first time. World Environment Day is celebrated every year on June the 5th in order to increase global awareness on the need to take positive environmental action for the protection of nature and planet Earth. Environment Day World Life was established by the United Nations General Assembly in 1972 to mark the opening of the United Nations Conference on Human Environment, which took place between June the 5th until 16th, 1972 in Stockholm. I'll conclude with June the 5th, 1981. AIDS is recognized for the first time. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome, or AIDS, is a group symptoms and infection that arise due to damage to the human immune system caused by infection with the HIV virus. In January 2006, UNAIDS, in collaboration with WHO, estimates that AIDS has caused the deaths of more than 25 million people since it was first recognized on June the 5th, 1981. Thus, this disease is one of the most deadly outbreaks in history. Well, that was Today in History. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta to the world.
Bijahi Sayyidina Muhammad, Sallu alayka ya Nabi Allah. Ya
رسول الله مددت بمحبة المذنب لقاؤك رجائي كل حين أنس رحمتك على أمتك كما لا رحمتك يا مصطفى يا مصطفى خليل الرحيم يا رحمة meski zaman-zaman telah berlalu, izinkanlah hamba berkhidmat kepadamu. Izinkan hamba yang hina ini membantu
Well, thank you for listeners who are still with us in the English program from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next is another information from Indonesia and my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, today's My Indonesia is titled Indonesia, World's Investment Destination. Indonesian Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto said the country's economic growth showed positive trend with above 5% average annually. This is closely related to the role of manufacturing sector, which provide the biggest contribution towards national gross domestic product. In his working visit in Tokyo last Friday, Airlangga Hartarto in Nikkei Forum Tokyo explained, Indonesian economy is big and on the right track towards becoming one of the world's biggest economy. Release from Industry Ministry on June the 1st, which quoted Central Statistics Agency's data, mentioned manufacturing industry gave biggest contribution to the GDP, amounting to 20.07% on the Q1 of 2019. The amount increased compared to 2018, amounting to 19.86%. On the same period, manufacturing sector contributed to 22.7% to the total 195 trillion rupiah investment. Through that potential, Indonesia is considered to be a manufacturing hub in ASEAN and a production basis for global producer to fulfill domestic and export market needs. Minister Airlangga added, many called Indonesia as the world's investment destination. Therefore, the government is committed to keep pushing investment by creating conducive business climate and providing interesting incentive for the industry. For ease of investment, Airlangga added, Indonesian government had launched the online single submission. With such system, the investors will be facilitated in business licensing. The government also issued aggressive tax holiday policy aimed at companies investing more than $30 million up to $2 billion, which can get the tax holiday in 5 or 20 years. Standard & Poor's or S&P Global Ratings listed Indonesian sovereign credit rating from BBB- into BBB with stable outlook on May 31, 2019. Therefore, now, Indonesia deserves investment grade from three national rating agencies, namely S&P, Moody's, and the Fitch. Listener, that's my Indonesia.
Selamat
Of Indonesia.
Thanks for those who are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We have got a lot of serious information. Now it's the time to know an Indonesian traditional culture, or maybe, well, a tourism destination. You will get that in Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you to one of the traditions from Makassar, South Sulawesi, called Malepe tradition. Makassar is one of the four main economic growth centers in Indonesia, along with Medan, Jakarta, and Surabaya. During the festivity of Idul Fitri, which is one of the religious days of Muslims, Makassar's people have their own tradition to celebrate it. The tradition that is usually performed by Makassar's people to celebrate Idul Fitri is called Malepe. During the momentum of Idul Fitri, Muslims get together with their beloved families or relatives whom they have not met for a long time in a bid to celebrate the festivity after a full month of fasting. The term Malepe etymologically means to fold. However, the tradition has the philosophy of crumpling and crushing the terrible experiences and mistakes that one has perpetrated in the past, and he or she starts a new chapter of his or her life by spreading goodness. In addition, the term Malepe also etymologically means to release. The latter carries the meaning of releasing the sins that one has committed, as well as forgiving those who have hurt him or her. Put simply, the tradition of asking for forgiveness that Muslims usually do after performing the Eid prayer is one of the traditions of Malepe. Most of Bugis people perform a ritual of releasing used clothes to the river or sea. The ritual symbolizes the act of releasing human sins, misfortunes, and their negative traits in the past, and purifying them to become more decent human beings. The tradition resembles to the culture of South Sulawesi people before the dissemination of Islam in the region. The tradition is performed after the Eid prayer, in which people visit each other, such as their neighbors and relatives. It has been a tradition for Bugis people to wear Muslim clothes with the combination of Lipa Sabe or the silk sarung. The use of sarung is the acculturation between the Islamic teaching inscribed in the Quran and Sunnah and the local culture in which Muslims are advised to wear appropriate clothes during the Eid al-Fitr celebration. The tradition of Malepe is celebrated with joy. In this festivity, people serve the traditional culinary of Bugis tribe, which is one of the tribes of Sulawesi. Some of the main courses served in the tradition include burasa, or glutinous rice which is mixed with coconut milk and wrapped with banana leaves, and it is cooked for approximately 7 to 8 hours. Dumbu, which is a cylindrical food made from black glutinous rice and wrapped with banana leaves, as well as lepe lepe, which is mostly similar to dumbu. However, lepe lepe uses white sticky rice and it is wrapped with coconut leaves. These foods are usually cooked 1 or 2 days prior to the Eid al-Fitr celebration due to the process of making them that takes plenty of time. These foods are served for family and guests who visit the host. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Malepe tradition for Makassar, South Sulawesi. See you on our next edition.
Yeah.
listener, now it's time to learn Indonesian language in the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. First, a dialogue between Tony and Dinda titled Dia Adiku, or He is My Brother. Tony, foto keluarga siapa ini? Dinda, itu foto keluargaku. Itu ayah dan ibuku. Tony, oh, lalu yang berkumis itu kakakmu? Dinda, bukan, dia adikku. Kakakku yang ada di samping kiri ibuku. Well, that's the dialogue, and as usual, I will say the vocabularies related to today's dialogue or topic. I will say it twice slowly, and I hope you can follow me. Foto keluarga siapa ini? Foto keluarga siapa ini? In English, whose family picture is this? Itu foto keluargaku. Itu foto keluargaku. In English, that's my family's. Itu ayah dan ibuku. Itu ayah dan ibuku. In English, that's my father and my mother. Berkumis. Berkumis. In English, have mustache. Yang berkumis itu kakakmu. Yang berkumis itu kakakmu. In English, is the one with mustache your big brother? Dia adikku. Dia adikku. In English, he is my little brother. Kakakku yang di samping kiri ibuku. Kakakku yang di samping kiri ibuku. In English, my big brother is on the left of my mother. In the dialogue, you have listened the phrase dia adikku, or he is my brother. Apparently in Indonesia, to call sister or brother is quite complicated. In English, you need to call little brother and big brother. In Indonesia, we simply call abang for big brother, adik for little brother. Meanwhile, for sisters, we use the word kakak. Kakak for older sister, adik for little sister. If you want to add more information, you can say dia kakak perempuan saya, which means she is my bigger sister. However, it is unnecessary if the context is clear, such as in a picture, or maybe your sister or brother is around you. If you are telling about your family, you can say, my bigger sister will be married soon. Or in Indonesian, kakak saya yang perempuan akan menikah. The phrase, kakak saya yang perempuan, or in English means, my sister, that is a woman, show that you have more than one sister or brother or some older siblings. One of them is a female and the other one must be a male. Next, in the dialogue, the root word for berkumis is kumis itself, or in English means mustache. And it is added with affix ber. The affix ber on the berkumis is a possessive one, meaning that the person have mustache. The other example, berambut hitam, having black hair. Bermata coklat, having brown eyes. Berhidung mancung, having long nose. And even berjenggot, or having beard. Hopefully you have understood more about Indonesian language, little by little, of course. So, to jog again your memory, here is the, well, our repeated dialogue. Tony, foto keluarga siapa ini? Dinda, itu foto keluargaku. Itu ayah dan ibuku. Tony, oh, lalu yang berkumis itu kakakmu? Dinda, bukan, dia adikku. Kakakku yang di samping kiri ibuku. Well, listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. For more, stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World.
Salaman, saling memaaf-maafkan, ikhlaskanlah dirimu, sucikanlah hatimu. Sebulan berpuasa, jalankan perintah agama.
Selamat Hari Lebaran, minal aidin wal faizin.
Ucapkan syukur kehadirat ilahi. Kita berkumpul semua bersama sanak keluarga. Tak lupa kawan semua, jumpa di hari bahagia.
Selamat Hari Lebaran, minal aidin wal faizin.
Sama sanak keluarga, tak lupa kawan semua, jumpa di hari bahagia.
Selamat Hari Lebaran, minal aidin wal faizin.
Well, we have presented various information, how to speak Bahasa Indonesia, and also good musics. More about it, and we will explain it one by one. One of them is in the music corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener to enliven the Idul Fitri celebration, 1440 Hijriah. I will present a song from Gita Gutawa entitled Idul Fitri. The song sung by Gita Gutawa is also known with the title Hari Lebaran. The song Hari Lebaran was composed by Ismail Marzuki shortly after Indonesia's independence, namely in the 1950s. The first singer of the song was the vocal group Lima Seirama. Until now, there have been many other musicians who have sung the song of Hari Lebaran, such as Bimbo, Gigi, Tasha, Ungu, Gita Gutawa, and many others. Singaporean artist M. Ramli has also sung the song with the title a little bit different in the lyrics in the 1970s. The song Idul Fitri version of Gita Gutawa was released in 2010 in the album Balada Salawat. The lyrics describe the enthusiasm and blissfulness of welcoming the Idul Fitri celebration. Listener, here is the song Idul Fitri by Gita Gutawa. Happy listening and happy Idul Fitri 1440 Hijriah. Forgive myself and my soul.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well then, listener, we still got a lot of more for you in the Voice of Indonesia, but maybe it will be in another language. So, if you get anything to say about today's program, send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia. Well, make sure that you will stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.